from the novel Ripley Underwater by Patricia Highsmith. The next morning, after his first coffee, Tom asked Madame Annette please to buy what newspapers she could. It was Sunday when she went into the village. Later, Tom looked at the papers in the kitchen. Madame Annette was extracting croissants and a flute of bread from her net.
The police! They search for the head, Monsieur Tom,
Madame Annette whispered, though no one but Tom could have heard her. Tom frowned. In the house?
Everywhere.
Again it was a whisper. What are the police now looking for, really, Madame? Tom asked, hoping to learn something, as well as please Madame Annette, who loved to impart knowledge.
Surely not the head, Tom whispered earnestly. Clues, maybe? Whether it was suicide or accident?
Madame Annette at the sink, her hands wet, leaned toward Tom.
Monsieur, I heard this morning they have found a whip. Someone else, Madame Hubert, you know, the wife of the electrician, she said a chain was found. Perhaps not a big chain, but a chain.
Ed came downstairs, and Tom greeted him and handed him the two newspapers in the living room. Tea or coffee? Asked Tom. Coffee, with some warm milk. May I?
You may. Sit down at the table, more comfortable.
Just suppose they did find the head in the Pritchard house, Tom was thinking, as he went to convey Ed's order. Or the wedding ring, hidden in an incredible place. For instance, hammered into an interstice between two floorboards. A wedding ring with initials, and the head somewhere else.
Can I come along to the airport? Ed asked when Tom returned. I'd enjoy that.
Of course, and I'd like your company. We'll take the station wagon.
Ed read on in the newspapers.
Nothing new here, is there, Tom?
Not to me.
Hardly an hour later, when Tom and Eloise, too, had checked on the appearance of Tom's room, now assigned to Jeff, and had set a red rose in a flute-like glass vase on the dressing table, Tom and Ed departed. Tom had taken Murchison's ring from the black woolen sock in his sock drawer, and it was in his left-hand trouser pocket now.
Let's go by Moray. The bridge is so pretty, and it's hardly at all out of the way.
Okay, said Ed. Lovely.
The day was lovely, too. It had rained early that morning, around 6 from the look of things, which was just what had been needed to freshen the garden and the lawn, and of course save Tom from watering today. The towers of the bridge at Moray, a single stocky tower on either side of the river, came into view, pinkish tan, venerable and protective.
Let's try to get near the water, somehow, Tom said. It's two-way on the bridge, but it's narrow through the towers, so sometimes we have to wait and take turns.
Each tower had an arched passageway, wide enough for only one car. Tom had to pause only a few seconds for a couple of oncoming cars, and then they crossed the River Loing, where Tom so much wanted to throw the ring, but it was impossible to stop. Once through the second tower, he took a street to his left, and despite a yellow line, drew up at the curb.
Let's walk to the bridge and take a quick look, at least, Tom said.
They did reach the bridge road, Tom with hands in pockets, left hand gripping the ring. He pulled his hand out of his pocket and held the ring in his fist.
16th century architecture, a lot of this, Tom said. And Napoleon spent a night here on his return from Elba. The house where he did has a plaque, I believe.
Tom pressed his palms together and transferred the ring to his right hand. Ed said nothing and seemed to be trying to absorb everything. Tom stood nearer the rail along the bridge as two cars passed behind him. A few meters below, the Loing looked comfortably deep to Tom.
Monsieur?
Tom turned in surprise and saw a police officer in dark blue trousers, short-sleeved pale blue shirt and sunglasses.
Oui, said Tom. You have the white station wagon in...
Oui, Tom said.
It is forbidden to park there, where you are.
Ah, oui, excusez-moi, We shall be moving off at once. Thank you, officer.
The officer saluted and moved off, white holstered gun on hip.
Did he know you? Asked Ed.
Not sure, maybe. Nice of him not to slap me with a fine. Tom smiled. I don't think he will. Let's go.
Tom swung his arm back and hurled the ring, aiming for the middle of the river, which was not in full flood at the moment. It plunked near enough to the middle to satisfy Tom. He smiled slightly at Ed, and they walked back in the direction of the station wagon. For all Ed knew, he might have thrown a stone, Tom supposed, and that was just as well.